Thanks to Eurovision Americas and the crew here, Dave Roberson, Chuck Walter, Emily DeShenzen, and Sarah Gibbons, and Mark Adelsheim. Democracy Now! Is produced by Mike Burke, Shrufa Lokadus, Darren Mate, Anjali Kamath, Steve Martinez, Nicole Salazar, Hani Masood, and Robbie Karen. Special thanks to Dennis Moynihan, Mike DeFilippo, Miguel Nagura, engineers. Special thanks to Becca Staley, Julie Crosby, Nick Gilla, Hugh Grant, Jessel Noor. You can go to our website at democracynow.org to get the full transcripts, the video and audio podcast. You can follow us on Twitter and on Facebook. I'm Amy Goodman in Cancun. Thanks for joining us.
Yeah, thanks, Amy. It's 4 minutes after 6 o'clock. Off the Wall starts at 6 o'clock. Yes. You're listening to WUSB Stony Brook, and it is time for Off the Wall. Yeah. Even February, the program is off the wall. It's December the 7th, 2010, and yeah, it's a day that's living in infamy right now with the whole WikiLeaks thing going on. It's Pearl Harbor Day, and most importantly, it's the day of the final, the day that we decide which Starbucks will be my first ever. It's the culmination. This is what it was all about. Since we started this in January with 10,000 potential places to go, narrowing it down week after week after week until we have tonight's final competition between two locations in California, Newport Beach and San Diego. And the excitement in those two places is very measurable. I don't get the actual newscasts myself from the local affiliates out there, but people do send me copies, and it's bordering on hysteria almost. It's and of course, the last time we were here 2 weeks ago for the semifinal, remember with when Oklahoma City and College Park, Maryland were eliminated, it was out of control. It was out of control. We had well over 100 people in the studio. We had dancing. We had people breaking things. We even had a small riot at the end, because people from Oklahoma apparently can't behave themselves, and they came all the way over here. I don't know why. And I expressed my deep concern with that last week. And in fact, there's a lot of people express their deep concern. I understand there's all I know is it's a federal investigation. That's all I know. I'm not sure which authority is investigating what exactly, but I don't blame them for the kind of antics that I saw here. And just throughout the year, a number of incidents that I'd rather forget. I'd rather pretend didn't happen, but unfortunately they did happen. And probably one of the most regrettable was the whole Carl Paladino incident, where on election day he somehow wound up in our studio being given bad information and trying to get himself interviewed on Democracy Now!, which was pre-recorded and not even broadcast here in the first place. Well, he met the Mexican band that for some reason was hired for the drawing that night. Apparently just assumed because they were Mexican that they were in the country illegally. And this is, and again, I'm not 100% sure on this. This is just from what I've heard from station gossip. But from what I have heard, after Election Day, and this is the reason you didn't see him very much after that. There was like one day where he was around, and he suddenly disappeared. He actually drove those poor guys in that Mexican band all the way to Mexico himself. Yeah. Under the deluded impression that because they were Mexican, they had to be in the country illegally, and he told them that they were going to some amazing party. I can't believe that he actually drove all the way down there. It took, I think, 2.5 days, day and night, went across the border, left them there, and drove back into the country. And the irony is that those three guys were born in Queens. One of them is from Corona, which is kind of funny. But no, all from Queens. Purebred American citizens. Probably more so than Carl Paladino ever was. And now, the lawsuit names the people of the board of WUSB. Fortunately, I'm not on that board. But now, we have to face all kinds of legal action because of... It's kidnapping. That's not the federal investigation, because that's for what happened during the semifinal. This is in the quarterfinal. And before that, there are all kinds of things. There are injuries. The dancers from overseas apparently were banned from the country because of something that happened, which I'm not exactly sure about. But Jimmy the Drummer, remember him? He went out to tour with a Led Zeppelin tribute. No, a tribute band to a Led Zeppelin tribute band. I think that's what it was, right? And he is currently facing, I think, 5 years. And I saw this on Smoking Gun, smokinggun.com. The arrest warrant literally says trumped charges. I'm not exactly sure, but apparently in California that's an actual charge. You can simply take a charge and add to it for no other reason than you don't like the way somebody looks or something. And under Schwarzenegger, apparently that became acceptable, and so that's where he is. It's been... I am so sorry I ever brought this up. I am so sorry I ever mentioned to anybody that I'd never been to a Starbucks in my life, and wouldn't it be fun to just pick one at random and have over-enthusiastic station people say, hey, you know what, we can make a whole big production out of this. That said, with all my misgivings and all the embarrassment, humiliation, legal action, arrests, sentencing, people being banned, people being injured... That said, I would just like to know one thing. Where the hell is everybody tonight? There's nobody here. This is the final, for God's sake. I thought there'd be 1,000 people in the studio. I was looking in the parking lot. The parking lot's empty. There's nobody in the station. Is this some kind of joke or something? This is the final. This is the one that counts. This is what everybody should have been here for. And there's nobody here. Am I in some kind of Twilight Zone or something where people are going to say, what are you talking about, Emmanuel? There's no such thing. There's no such thing as the quest for Starbucks. In fact, maybe there's no such thing as Starbucks. Maybe there's no such thing as coffee. You know, maybe there's no such thing as Emmanuel. I don't know. I'm not sure which episode this is. All I know is I'm sitting in a station now that's like a tomb, and there's nobody to conduct the drawing. And we have a game at 6:45, so this is an abbreviated show already. It's like we went through all this, eliminated 10,000 places, only to figure out in the end that nobody really cares. And that sounds like something I would do, but I'm the victim here. Okay, you know what? Fine, I'll play. I'll play the game. You don't want to have a big production? You want to just take me super literally and just clear the place out and not care anymore? And basically say the whole year was a waste. You want to do that? Fine, you know? I'm going to decide it right now. I'm not going to have a band, I'm not going to have dancers, I'm not going to have a drum roll, pomp and circumstance, star-spangled banner, crowds of people, injuries, fights, riots. No, we're not going to have any of that. We're just going to flip a coin. How about that? We're just going to flip a damn coin, decide if it's going to be Newport Beach or San Diego sometime in 2011 when I go to my first Starbucks, okay? That's what we're going to do. I'm just going to tell me I don't have a coin in my pocket? Oh, my God. Really? I don't have a single... Hold on. The advantage of cargo pants is that there's always another pocket somewhere. Oh, that's where my camera is. Okay. Credit cards. I'm not going to flip a credit card. No, that's not a good idea. Hang on, I think I have a coin in my coat. Hold on. Yeah, no, it's not professional to walk away from the microphone, but... What about this place is professional? Hang on. I have my keys. Well, no coin there. All right, we're gonna find a coin if I have to go outside and get a coin. Oh, I got a coin. Okay. I found a coin. All right. And it's a penny. I had one penny in my jacket. Isn't that fortunate? I mean, you can flip anything. You don't have to flip a coin. I could flip a pen. Well, I don't know how that would work, but I don't know. I could have flipped a CD or something. Yeah, that would have been appropriate in a radio station. All right, so here, I'm just going to flip the damn coin. Wait for the theme to end. We have 20 seconds in the theme, and then I'll flip the coin. And that's how it's going to be decided. You know, no parades, no pomp and circumstance, no marching bands, none of that. Fine. Nice and low key. That's the way we like it here at USB. All right, but I still have to decide which is... Okay, I'm looking at the website now, thefirststarbucks.com, and there are two left, San Diego and Newport Beach. So San Diego comes first, Newport Beach comes second, and I guess heads comes before tails, right? It's always heads or tails. It's never tails or heads. So we'll just attach heads to San Diego since they're first, and Newport Beach is second, so there'll be tails. And they're first and second, that was totally random. All right. You know what? This is more exciting than when all the people were here, because this is kind of solemn. This is kind of quiet and intimate. Got a penny here. I'm just going to drop the penny so you know I have a real penny. Okay, that's the penny. I'm going to throw it up in the air. It's going to come down. I'm not going to look at it right away. I'm going to say heads, San Diego, tails, Newport Beach in 3, 2, 1. Okay, it's landed. It's on the table. I have not looked at it yet. I'm looking straight ahead. I can't do it. This is hard. All right. I'm ready. 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. It's tails. I'm going to Newport Beach. Well, hallelujah. You know, I've never been to Newport Beach, not knowingly anyway. But Starbucks, 1128 Irvine Avenue, Newport Beach, California. You are the winner of all the Starbucks in the world. You're the one that wound up coming through. Wow. Okay, well, it'll be interesting to see what the reaction is out west tonight. I'm sure a lot of disappointed people in San Diego. Or maybe at all disappointed people in Newport Beach. I'm not sure, but it's over. It's over. It's done. Finished. No more of this. Until I go out there, make a fool of myself. Okay, you know, because I assumed that there was going to be a whole big to-do tonight. I didn't really prepare much in the way of radio. Although, I didn't really have to. The whole world is falling apart, as we all know. Today, our friend Julian Assange from WikiLeaks was officially arrested when he turned himself in, hoping to get bail. Of course, not getting bail, because he was seen as a flight risk. It's kind of hard to be a flight risk, though, when you're so prominent. I mean, war criminals are one thing, but people who are releasing documents about war crimes, they tend to be a lot more open, a lot more visible. And everybody knew, well, most people knew where he was. All right, some people knew where he was. It wasn't that hard to figure it out. And, yeah, he's going to face the charges in Sweden. But the thing that bugs me, first of all, whether or not he's going to be extradited to Sweden is something that has yet to be determined. That battle begins next week when he goes to court trying to fight this. The thing that that was mentioned today, which is kind of disturbing, very disturbing, in fact, and very telling also, was a statement by an official of the United States government. I don't have the exact quote in front of me, but basically indicating that, yes, we are looking into extradition from Sweden to the United States for charges that, I don't know what charges they're going to be, but they're trying to figure out what to charge him with. And here's the thing. All those people who said, way back when the Swedish charges were first contemplated, filed, then taken back, then filed again after a high-priced lawyer got involved, all the people who were saying this is part of a campaign to get him for the WikiLeaks stuff. Well, it's a lot harder to not believe those people tonight, because that's exactly what seems to be happening. Being brought in on one charge, being transferred to another charge. So if that's what happens, if he goes, winds up going to Sweden, and the charges against him are either dropped or found to have no merit, and then he's transferred into United States custody, you will know. You will know beyond any shadow of a doubt who was pulling the strings from the start. Yeah, it sounded crazy at first, and when you have some kind of a sex crime involved, people are a bit more hesitant to leap to somebody's defense. And I think they know that. The people who do this kind of thing, they're good at this. They know exactly how to pull at the public's heartstrings and get them to side one way or another. The things to remember about this whole WikiLeaks case, what's going on with the documents being released, is that, first of all, the documents are being released by the mass media. When you hear about new documents coming out, it's not because people are going to WikiLeaks and saying, oh, look what I just found. It's because the New York Times or the Washington Post or any number of papers around the world are publishing them and giving details and giving analysis, redacting names, basically doing the work of figuring out what's acceptable to release and what's dangerous to release. And WikiLeaks, in fact, is following that advice. If a newspaper looks at a document and says, we have to block out this name, well, 99 times out of 100, WikiLeaks will agree, because it's the responsible thing to do. So it's those media organizations, those newspapers, that are releasing documents that fell into their hands. They were given to them by WikiLeaks, yes. But how is what they are doing any different than what WikiLeaks is doing? WikiLeaks didn't go and take the documents. They fell into WikiLeaks' hands. You see? So by labeling one organization as somehow complicit and criminal in all this, and then labeling one person as somehow complicit and criminal, it's a lot easier to focus the hate than if you simply pick all the media organizations and say you're all guilty. It's either all or none. And it's interesting because employees of the State Department, I believe U.S. government employees, are being told that it's illegal for them to look at the documents. The documents that are in the New York Times, if you look at that, you're breaking the law because they're classified. Somebody needs to explain to the U.S. government what classified is. When something becomes known to the public, it can't be classified anymore. It's not classified. It's been leaked. And the fact of the matter is, before any document appeared on WikiLeaks.org, which now no longer exists, and we'll get to that in a second, way before any document appeared on that website, it had already been leaked. It was already no longer classified, because when something is leaked, it's not a secret anymore. I think some of the best back and forth was when people in the government were telling WikiLeaks to return the documents that he had gotten. Do they even know how computers work? I'll take this file and I'll give it to you, and now I no longer have it, and nobody else does either, because there's only one, and there can't be more than that. Somebody really needs to give these people a computer 101 lesson. Yeah, you can have two of the same thing. You can copy it. You can make millions of them. And there's nothing anybody can do. That's what makes it so fascinating, is that they've totally, totally lost control of reality. The things they want to keep to themselves, they can't keep to themselves anymore. They've lost control. What they're saying about each other, what diplomats are saying about other diplomats, and what governments are saying about other countries. Well, now we all know the truth. We don't know everything. There's a lot of secrets still out there, a lot of secrets that are better kept than these ones, and these ones were accessible to, I've heard millions of people had access to this. But these secrets are out, and they're not secrets anymore. And you can't blame the messenger. But the really amazing thing, and the thing that really turned me, and I think a lot of people, started happening about a week or so ago, where you just saw the Sarah Palins and the Mike Huckabees and the Peter Kings of the world start calling for blood, literally saying things like Julian Assange should be executed, he's a traitor. Why is he being hunted like Osama bin Laden? You know, if he was being hunted like Osama bin Laden, he wouldn't be in custody right now, I'll tell you that. But that's a whole other thing. Point is, to see that kind of utter hatred and ignorance and lust for blood made me realize, perhaps a bit belatedly, or maybe I was just looking for the confirmation, that those people are wrong. Those people are evil. Those people must be stopped. And anything that hurts them is good. Anything that annoys them is definitely something that's good for the rest of us. Now, I know it annoys all kinds of people, people I have more respect for. But you'll find those people are a bit more measured in their response. Yeah, they'd rather this not get out there, and it's a big pain in the ass, but you know what? We're going to survive. We're going to get past this because we're stronger than that, because our system is stronger than that. That's the kind of response you expect to hear from intelligent people who have to object. They can't say, oh, yeah, let it all out there. They can't say that. I know this. But they can also deal with reality and accept the facts and move on. Now, I mentioned that WikiLeaks.org doesn't exist anymore. It exists in name, but not in site. In fact, I'm going to try going there right now. Hang on, see if our old computer system is working. What do we get when we go to WikiLeaks.org, which is the main site? Well, we're on a Mac, so you know what happens with Macs when they try contacting websites and have trouble. That little blue bar goes halfway across the URL and just sits there, and you wonder if your computer is hanging, and sometimes you get a little spinning rainbow thing, and it's a big pain, and oftentimes I just turn my machine off. So far, nothing. I don't know if this is going to result in a message, but basically, the long and the short of it, WikiLeaks.org does not resolve. Meaning it doesn't go to any website anymore. And that's because an American company disconnected their name servers. They basically said, okay, that's it. We don't want to serve you anymore. Now, they did this under the pretext that they were being flooded with denial of service attacks, which is the weapon of idiots, the weapon of people who simply have nothing else to say. And I know that there are people out there attacking the other side using denial of service as well, and I say the same thing. Those people are idiots. That's not the way to fight. The way to fight is to win the argument, to make your points, to be heard, not to silence the opposition. If you silence the opposition, I'm going to think the opposition has something to say. Now, boycotts are one thing, but to simply cut somebody off completely, it's like shutting down somebody that's trying to say something that you don't agree with. Never liked that tactic. I'd rather let them speak and bury themselves. Okay, we have a result here. Safari, yes, I've revealed the web browser we use. Safari can't find the server. Safari can't open the page, WikiLeaks.org, because Safari can't find the server, WikiLeaks.org. That's such a sad message. Safari's very upset now. All right, I'm going to do something to make you happier. We started a pointer, not a mirror. It's a subtle difference. A mirror is when you actually copy all the information from a website and make it your own. If you type wikileaks.2600.com, it will reroute to wherever WikiLeaks happens to be at the moment. And there are a number of sites around the world where WikiLeaks exists now. Their flagship site, wikileaks.org, has been taken. But other ones exist in different countries. It's funny because if you read the news stories about this, you'll hear that WikiLeaks has put up other sites around the world, but nobody will tell you what they are. They won't ever say the name. Well, I'll tell you. They went to wikileaks.ch, which is Switzerland, and then that got taken down. And then they went to wikileaks.nl in the Netherlands. And that's still up. WikiLeaks.de, I believe, is still up in Germany. And when I say they went there, actually, that's a bit wrong. They were there the whole time. These were mirror sites. But the way that the pointer works, if, God forbid, WikiLeaks.nl gets taken down, then we simply point WikiLeaks.2600.com to, say, WikiLeaks.de or WikiLeaks.whatever. Or if it comes down to... I'm on the run and I'm hiding and I'm just sticking this someplace else.com, we'll point to that. It's an easy way to find them. But the thing is, the interesting kind of symmetry of all this, this is exactly how we got into trouble back in 2000. If you recall, 2600 was sued by the Motion Picture Association of America in what was the first test case of the Digital Millennium Copyright Act. And all we had done was point our website, have a little link there, to point to the DECSS code, computer code that allowed people running Linux machines to play DVDs. That's all it was. But that simple act, having a Linux machine become capable of playing a DVD, it violated a trademark that the DVD consortium or whoever those people were had that said, before you can play a DVD in your device, you must pay us millions of dollars, which still to me makes absolutely no sense. So somebody wrote an open source program to bypass that, and they became threatened legally, so in a show of solidarity, we pointed to them. And for some inexplicable reason, out of the thousands and thousands of web pages that were pointing to the code, linking to the code, they chose us to sue. Now, there's a number of reasons. Our name pops up first because we begin with a 2, 2600, and that shows up before the letter A in the list. Maybe they just picked the first one they saw. Or when it became known that we were hackers, if you take hackers to court, you tend to win. Most judges don't like hackers. And the judge we had did not like us. So, yeah, we lost the case. We lost the case, but I think we won a good part of the war because it was the first time a lot of people heard about the Digital Millennium Copyright Act and saw how evil it could be. And there have been many, many battles since then. And it didn't put us out of business. Yet. So, it was the right thing to do to show solidarity in this particular case, particularly seeing the reaction that so many people had, so many people in power had towards this website that was releasing information, simply releasing information that had already been leaked. Sitting by and not doing anything was not an option. So we'll see what happens now. The bloodlust is a lot more this time, I'll tell you that, than it was 10 years ago. They weren't saying treason. They weren't saying execution last time. The whole world was not watching. This is something incredible. This is something amazing. The guy who was supposed to be our keynote speaker at our last conference, the guy who came to the other radio show, the guy we had multiple conversations with, all of a sudden being front page news, household name. And for what? Because he stood up for his convictions. He became the face behind a particular website that was doing what many people believed in. It's incredible. Of course, you know, there are all these James Bond aspects to it. I believe the servers now are being stored inside a mountain somewhere in Sweden, which I think was actually filmed in a James Bond movie. An interesting personality behind this. If you follow the Twitter feed, you'll see all kinds of funny, weird comments. But you know what? That's part of being human. You can do that. But it just it kind of ballooned out of control and made this guy into Satan number two. So a lot of us became very worried about what's going to happen to him. And that's why it's so important to make it clear that WikiLeaks is not one person. It's a lot of people. It's a hell of a lot of people. And there's a hell of a lot more coming. We'll keep people updated. However, you'll have to listen to the other radio show to get updates because I won't be back here in the studio for another 6 weeks. No, I haven't been banned. I don't think so. But I'm going to be overseas in the Scandinavian countries. If you're in a Scandinavian country, please write to us, otw@2600.com. And maybe we could meet up or something. We'll have some interesting times. And, of course, a lot of this is taking place over there as well, so we'll learn quite a bit more. Interesting times ahead. So for the next 5 weeks, you're going to be hearing various interesting recordings from previous trips. The next 3 weeks, actually, the next part of December, the 14th, 21st, and 28th, will be devoted to the former Yugoslavia trip, which Kyle and I took in April and May, and we've been airing bits and pieces of that throughout the year. Well, now's the home stretch. Now's where we finish it. And next week, you'll be hearing highlights from Kosovo and from Macedonia. And, of course, those are the two of the most controversial places because, well, is Kosovo part of Serbia or isn't it? Depends who you ask. But you don't want to say it the wrong way. And then there's Macedonia. Well, is it called Macedonia or is it the former Yugoslav Republic of Macedonia? Don't say it the wrong way to the wrong people. Very hot issue in Greece. So we're going to have highlights from those two places, Kosovo and Macedonia. I'm saying it that way just for the shortness factor. We'll hear some of their radio as well. And then the week after that, we'll be having some Belgrade in Serbia, some highlights from there. And then on the 28th, a summation of the entire thing. Then next year, on the 4th of January, We'll have the first part of our Canadian trip, which took place in October. And the second part of that, and I'll tell you right now, the second part of that is going to involve the pillow fighting. That takes place on January the 11th. So full action-packed roster coming up. It's going to be a blast. I mean that. Again, our email address, otw@2600.com. You know, this news just in, it's got nothing to do with WikiLeaks, got nothing to do with Starbucks, got nothing to do with the former Yugoslavia or Canada. It's got to do with right here at Stony Brook. Big news, big, big news. Stony Brook University Police Department makes arrest in graffiti case. Whole press release, yeah. Listen to this. During the spring and fall 2010 semesters, university police have been receiving reports and witnessing the end result of countless incidents of making graffiti throughout the Stony Brook University campus. The graffiti tag Walter, that was the name of my dog, Walter. Wow. The graffiti tag Walter was placed throughout the academic mall, campus buildings, bus shelters, light poles, garbage pails, and campus buses. Garbage pails? No. You know, there used to be a code. There used to be a rule. You don't touch the garbage pails. Kids today, they just don't care. After a comprehensive investigation, review of surveillance photos, and interviews with campus personnel, university police identified a person of interest. This is not a serial killer here. This is not Al-Qaeda. This is a graffiti. A comprehensive investigation, review of surveillance photos, interviews with campus personnel, they identify a person of interest. Oh, boy. You guys need to get out more. On the morning of December 1st, the person was observed in the act of placing another graffiti sticker and arrested. A sticker, not even paint. Jesse Ray Reichard, 20 years old, a Stony Brook University commuter student, was processed at University Police Headquarters and transported to the Suffolk County Police Department. He was later removed to Suffolk County Criminal Courts for arraignment on charges which include criminal mischief, fourth degree, possession of graffiti instruments, and criminal mischief, third degree. I wonder what the difference is. This investigation was successfully closed due to the tireless efforts of the university detectives and was greatly augmented from valuable information provided by members of the campus community, which ultimately led to the identification of the suspect, said Chief Robert Linehan. It is a great testament to the character of Stony Brook University when students and other members of the campus community actively contribute to upholding community standards. Oh, my God. It's graffiti. For God's sake, get over it. Graffiti stickers, no less. We used to have graffiti all over the place. I mean, it didn't take over, and I don't think this was taking over. Isolated instance. We used to have a rock. In fact, we still do have a rock on Nichols Road outside the campus that people used to paint every weekend. Different colors. Now it's some kind of a crime if you even go near it. Used to be some guy that walked around painting Michael Jackson is ugly all over the campus. And train stations into the city, you'd see it there too. And what was that all about? That was simply because some math TA stole somebody else's idea, and his name happened to be Michael Jackson. It had nothing to do with the real Michael Jackson. And it was something everybody simply talked about. That's all it was. We survived. Oh, well. Different times, different values. It's sad. All right. Well, before I make it to that place out on the West Coast, I'm going to have more coffee, I guess. Stay tuned for basketball. We'll see you next week, recording 6 weeks live. And all kinds of other places. Write to us, otw@2600.com. It's Emmanuel. Have a great night. Your loyalty.
teach you how to pick and choose and how to throw the blade. He oversees his kingdom, so no stranger does intrude. His voice, it trembles as he calls out for another blade.